Welcome to the Agile Agenda. I'm Annette Venelbo and I'm your host on this show. Today I have the great pleasure of introducing you to a very special three-episode mini-series with a very special guest, namely the pioneer of the Kanban method, David Anderson. I'm extremely honored and grateful that David has taken the time out of his busy schedule to share some of his insights into the current state of Kanban with us. I guess that nobody on the planet would be in a better position to do just that. This is the first episode of three in this mini-series, and now it's time to give you a heads up on some of the topics that we'll be talking about today. You can look forward to hearing David explain the geographic spread of Kanban, including details about the Nordics. We will also talk about the increased focus on flow, why you should manage capacity rather than time. We'll talk about physical boards versus software boards and much more. David, I'm certain that most of our listeners already know you, but in case there are a few that don't, could I ask you to give a brief introduction of yourself before we start today's episode?
Hi, thank you for inviting me. It's nice to be here on the podcast. I'm David Anderson. I'm from Scotland originally. I've lived in Singapore and Ireland and the United States for about 23 years. And most recently, I moved here to Spain in 2018. I've been here for 5 years in Bilbao. And I'm really enjoying being back in Europe after a long stay in the United States.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. You and I, we have met several times before when I've been part of the Kanban community for many years. I'm based in the Nordics, where I'm working as a Kanban trainer and consultant. I've done a lot to introduce Kanban and to share knowledge about the method wherever I found it possible and whenever it has been relevant. And it can be quite difficult to get people's and particularly managers' attention. I've sometimes envied Kanban consultants from other parts of the world where Kanban is already much more widespread. Can you tell us about the geographic differences when it comes to adopting Kanban? And since our listeners are probably mainly from the Nordics, can you tell us if you see any changes in Kanban adoption in the Nordic countries, or do you have any other observation concerning the Nordics?
All right, well, quite a broad question. I should have mentioned that I started the Kanban University training business in 2011. And actually, the School of Management, David Gianna's School of Management, that started in 2008, originally called David J. Anderson and Associates. So I've been doing this for 15 years. And in the beginning, I was offering training classes that I was delivering myself. And partners around the world began to invite me to their countries, places like the Netherlands and Sweden. And I'd travel and deliver a two-day class. And gradually that got more popular. And then those partners started to say, we really want to deliver the training ourselves in our local language. And that caused the formation of Kanban University at the beginning of 2012. We licensed 16 trainers around the world, mostly in Europe at that time. So I've been traveling a lot. And now we have a network of between 350 and 400 trainers on 6 continents. So I have some insight about the global market and adoption and how that's changed over time in the 15 years. Our biggest market by volume is Brazil. The Brazilian market has really embraced Kanban in a big way. And it's really making a big difference at Brazilian companies. There's some fantastic case studies from there. With the Nordics and Scandinavia, we saw this enthusiasm, this early enthusiasm in Sweden, 2008, 9, 10, perhaps until about 2015. Denmark and Norway were a lot slower. The Norwegians may be the slowest. We also had some early enthusiasm in Finland around 2010 and 11. But my observation was that it was this early enthusiasm and then it kind of died out. Perhaps we had some very shallow Kanban adoption but on a fairly wide scale across the Nordics. But people weren't really showing an interest in taking it further. And it wasn't particularly clear why that was. Gradually, we had fewer Kanban trainers in our network in the Nordic region. So demand seemed to have dissipated. Recently, we're seeing a pickup in that again with School of Management here in Bilbao. We're seeing some Swedish students in classes recently. And we're hearing from folks like you, Kanban trainers, who are seeing the market picking up and some new interest. I'm guessing that that's coming from a different generation of people and maybe some different businesses than the early adopters. In the early years, we knew that there was a really good implementation at Scania, but they're quite a secretive company. They view their processes perhaps as a competitive advantage. While we also had really a not terribly good implementation at Volvo, but we were able to capture that case study. And while it shows some shallow adoption and a lot of struggles that they had with the culture and the politics of the company, it's still a very educational case study. But the Nordics has been quiet for us. It's been asleep, and we're seeing it waking up again recently.
That's really interesting. And you're right. I've certainly seen a much bigger interest in Kanban in Denmark, particularly over the past year or so. And that's both when it comes to Kanban training and to Kanban implementations. People participating in, for instance, Kanban management professional training, they are often coming from safe environments and mainly from some of the bigger companies in Denmark. Many are looking to Kanban to find ways to fix some of the problems that they have working with agile frameworks. I also see an increased focus on flow in general, but to mention a concrete example, in the latest version of the SAFe framework, Kanban is now playing a more prominent role. I do know that Kanban in SAFe is nothing like the Kanban method that you are fronting and that we are talking about here. But what are your thoughts about this intensified focus on flow? And do you foresee an increased trend that more organizations will be moving away from agile frameworks and towards genuine flow systems such as Kanban?
I feel that there's been a significant change in the economy very recently. Of course, we had the pandemic, then we had war breaking out in Eastern Europe. But the biggest change has been the move away from cheap capital. Interest rates have risen around the world, and companies are finding that loans they had or bonds they had issued that are expiring and need to be renewed, their financing is at a much higher interest rate than it was previously. Capital is no longer cheap. And that's focusing minds on things like time to market, lead times, the carrying cost of work in progress. So I think it's natural that companies start to focus a lot more on flow, that they want things to flow smoothly, predictably, and quickly, because the cost of delay is much greater than it has been over, say, the last 15 to 20 years. So I'm not surprised that there's a new focus on flow and related things like time to market or the lead time on service delivery in response to a customer request. Of course, the advantage we have with Kanban method is we've been focused on this for 20 years already. We have a well-established, thoroughly tested, and incredibly well-documented method for focusing on flow. While there are plenty of people now paying attention to flow and we're seeing sort of copycat equivalent things popping up, similar looking guidance packaged differently. But this is something that we've been focused on for 20 years. We really understand the space. So I think the economy is driving the market to look much more seriously at Kanban.
Thanks for sharing those thoughts and perspectives. It's really interesting to hear. To continue a bit on that note, I see a tendency that people, and that's among others people that have failed to make Scrum work, they are picking up some of the Kanban practices. For example, they started working with so-called Kanban boards in Jira, or they have started limiting WIP, but they leave out the more difficult stuff, for example, to manage flow or to implement feedback loops. I know that the Kanban method is not an all or nothing method. It's described as pragmatic, actionable, evidence-based guidance. But how pragmatic can you be and then still say that you're working with Kanban? And does it even matter?
So there's an issue of scale. Scrum is really a team-level method, team-centric, and at a scale of 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 or 12 people maximum for any one Scrum team. And a lot of work that needs to be done involves multiple teams performing their part of something, cooperating with other people in order to deliver customer value. So at purely a team level, a team could be performing very well, but the customer perception is my request took a very long time to be delivered because the handoffs between teams involve delay, queuing. There's no one focused on the flow, the customer delivery, meeting customer expectations. So the businesses could be doing Scrum quite well, and actually their business performance is not improving. Now that we're in a world of expensive capital and other challenging times, disruptive technologies like artificial intelligence arriving, geopolitical problems, and coming out of a fairly tough economy from the pandemic and a big social change in terms of how people are working, all of these things are focusing minds on actual customer delivery and realizing real value, bringing revenue into a company, producing cash flow, business results. As a consequence of business results, we're moving away from team-centric methods and focused more on end-to-end from customer request to delivery. This requires multiple teams to cooperate, and Kanban provides a mechanism for that. So it takes you beyond the Scrum. We're never asking people to throw away what they're doing with Scrum, although ultimately Scrum uses time constraints, where with Kanban we're using WIP constraints, where we're asking people to constrain the number of things they're working on and to manage their capacity rather than manage their time. And I think there's enough evidence now over the past 20 years to suggest that that actually works a lot better. It's also easier and much more pragmatic from an implementation perspective.
Yeah, that is indeed very interesting, because I've been working with both Scrum and Kanban for many years. And what I wondered about is how can you even measure that good things are happening when you're working with Scrum? I've really never seen anybody being able to demonstrate, to document that better things were happening. But I mentioned Jira before, and this is just an example of a software that's used mainly to work with Scrum, but also with Kanban. I personally find it very difficult to make Kanban work in Jira. But these days, when many are working from home and companies collaborate across borders, I guess that it's difficult not to use software to visualize what's going on, and also as a tool for collaboration, not to mention data collection. But what are your views on the use of physical Kanban boards versus software boards? And do you have any recommendations concerning how the Kanban method can be optimally supported by software?
So physical boards, I feel historically, have always been shown to drive innovation. It's much easier to modify a physical board. It's easier to drive evolutionary change in your processes with physical boards, to redesign the tickets, redesign the boards. The software products, the better ones, the ones that are really proper Kanban tools, they do support evolutionary change of the board design, but they've been terribly focused on simulating whiteboards and board design they haven't paid nearly enough attention to the ticket design and the information that might be stored on the tickets. And in fact, sometimes it makes much more sense to put information on a ticket, and it keeps the board design simpler. So I see people with software often coming up with quite elaborate, complicated board designs that would be much simpler if you had a physical board with more information on the tickets. However, the reality is that we deal in a world of remote workers. That was true long before COVID. It's just much more acute now. So software's inevitable, but basic tracking tools like Jira were never architected and designed to be used as Kanban tools. And the tooling really restricts what you're capable of achieving. Consequently, I see people saying, well, we can't do Kanban properly because we're stuck with this tool. And that's really problematic from a business perspective. We see more advanced implementations of Kanban, and the case studies we have where there are perhaps four times productivity improvement, or eight times, 16 times maybe. There was a group from Accenture in Brazil that posted data, and they correlated it against Kanban University training, Team Kanban Practitioner, Kanban System Design, Kanban System Improvement. And they mapped their essentially delivery rate of features they were delivering through this organization. It went up by almost 20 times.
Amazing, really amazing.
So taking the Team Kanban Practitioner produced maybe a doubling. But by the time they'd gone through all the KMP training and completed the Kanban system improvement, the changes they made following that training ultimately produced 15 to 20 times greater productivity than they'd been achieving at the beginning. Well, if you got stuck early in that process because, well, Jira won't support the changes we want to make, you've left a tremendous amount of business opportunity on the table. And while people complain to me that changing the software is painful and might be expensive, I really feel that you need to get through that pain. And the true expense is not realizing the benefits that you would get by using a proper Kanban software.
In this example with the Accenture case you were talking about, did they change the software to support?
I honestly don't know.
You don't know? Okay, great. This concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And David, thank you so much for your time. And thank you for sharing your insights and perspectives with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
But before we get to the very end, let me tell you a bit about what you can look forward to hearing when David Anderson joins me in the second episode of this mini-series. We'll talk about the Kanban Maturity Model, also known as KMM, and the purpose of writing the book. You'll get exciting news about Kanban Plus, and you'll get David's answers to some of the questions that I've been asked again and again about the higher maturity levels in Kanban. So stay tuned. I'm Annette Venelbo, and I'm your host on The Agile Agenda.